In the wake of the recent terrorist attack in Pahalgam, the familiar drumbeat of war rhetoric has returned with unnerving speed. Television channels in both India and Pakistan have turned into battlegrounds of their own, anchors shouting over each other, guests hurling accusations, and talk show panels reduced to nationalist echo chambers. Words like retaliation, punishment, and decisive response dominate the airwaves, drowning out nuance, restraint, and any aspiration for a different path. This cycle has become all too predictable. A violent incident triggers outrage, and instead of sober inquiry or diplomacy, both states fall back into postures of hostility. Politicians make aggressive statements to appease domestic audiences, the media inflates emotions for ratings, and the public is fed a narrative of enmity that leaves little room for critical reflection. But the question we must ask, loudly and persistently, is whether this path leads anywhere meaningful. Can war guarantee peace? Can two nuclear-armed neighbors truly afford a misstep? The historical record offers no comfort. India and Pakistan have fought three wars and countless skirmishes. Each has inflicted pain, deepened distrust, and widened the emotional chasm between societies that were once part of the same cultural fabric. We have been told repeatedly that the next strike will be decisive, that the next war will settle scores, that this time we will teach the other side a final lesson. But what has this bravado achieved beyond loss and exhaustion? If the United States, with its unmatched military strength and intelligence apparatus, failed to achieve lasting peace through warfare in Afghanistan and Iraq, what can India or Pakistan expect from military confrontation? The notion that a surgical strike, a show of might, or a diplomatic snub can substitute for meaningful conflict resolution is both dangerous and delusional. It reveals a troubling truth. The obsession with retaliatory gestures is not about peace, it is about performance. What makes this moment especially perilous is the media's complicity in escalating tensions. News coverage has increasingly become theater, and nationalism its script. Each side finds comfort in its own myths, its own selective memory, and its own validation loop. In this environment, dissent is not tolerated. Calls for restraint are interpreted as weakness. Reason is mistaken for betrayal. Very few voices, knowing the horrors of war, dare to plead for good relations anymore. But amid this noise, it is worth remembering that people do not want wars. Governments manufacture the conditions for them. No parent wants to sacrifice a child for a border or ideology. Citizens across both countries care more about jobs, education, health, and justice than they do about geopolitical victories. Yet the idea of a permanent enemy persists, because it serves a purpose. It becomes a convenient distraction from the failings within.